Now, the White House announced a trove of incentives this week to step up the pace of COVID vaccinations in our country, like free childcare for parents and caregivers looking to get vaccinated, free tickets to Major League Baseball fans who get vaccinated at a game this month. And then there are states rolling out cash lotteries and sweepstakes. What carrot would it take for you or a loved one to get vaccinated? What ethical concerns or considerations do you have regarding vaccine lotteries? 800-642-1234. Emily Largent is an assistant professor of medical ethics and health policy at the University of Pennsylvania. Emily, welcome to the Ideas Network.
So nice to be here. Thank you.
What do you make of all these incentives just raining down now, from government to corporations?
Yeah, I feel like it started with a donut. Perhaps people have seen news about the Krispy Kreme donuts, yeah. And it seems like the prizes have gotten bigger.
That'll be the start of your research paper. It started with a donut.
Indeed. Yeah, the donut or the stick, I think, is a title I've been playing around with.
What are you seeing out there? And just why is it getting so much traction with all these incentives?
Yeah, so in the early days when vaccines were first available, we really had a situation where demand for vaccines far outstripped supply. So we had phased distribution plans, and we were trying to think about how we could hand them out in fair and equitable ways. But then we hit a tipping point where vaccine availability opened to everybody, and we have now this unfortunate situation where we have a lot more doses than we have demand. And so the incentives are just a natural part of the process of trying to encourage more people to get vaccinated and keep pushing up the population vaccine numbers so that we can keep with this return to normalcy that we're aiming for.
How persuasive or effective are these strategies, incentive strategies? Can they make people who are opposed to getting the vaccine decide to get it?
So I think that we have to think about all the reasons why people aren't being vaccinated right now. So vaccine incentives, I do think, will work for certain groups. So for example, there are some individuals who, being vaccinated just hasn't been a priority for them. Maybe they're young, they're healthy, they don't feel like COVID's a particular burden. Maybe they haven't fully internalized the messaging that being vaccinated isn't just good for you, but good for your friends, your family, your community. And so offering an incentive can give them a tangible reason to go and be vaccinated today, now, right? Whether that's a beer or a baseball ticket or $100 or a chance at $1 million. And I think that's a great group for incentives. But there are a lot of reasons, in addition to that kind of just apathy, why people aren't being vaccinated. So you mentioned people who are just against it. And I don't think that somebody who has, say, a philosophical or political objection to vaccination will be persuaded by the offer of an incentive. Similarly, incentives probably won't work for people who are just experiencing practical barriers. So if you need that childcare, or if you still are misinformed and think that you have to pay out of pocket for the vaccine, incentives aren't going to get to those reasons either.
So is it ethical to have these lotteries, $5 million, up for grabs, millions of dollars states putting out there to get people vaccinated, to get them roll up their sleeve?
So certainly, when we think about challenges or ethical challenges to offering people money, we often want to ask about the activity we're trying to convince them to do by dangling that carrot or donut or $1 million in front of them. And in this case, it's, COVID-19 vaccination. And while these haven't been formally FDA approved yet, we have fabulous evidence from millions of people that these are safe and effective vaccines. And so it wouldn't be wrong to get vaccinated for free. And certainly, if you want to do it for $1 million, we're not worried that we're trying to persuade somebody to do something that's wrong, right? So in that sense, we're not worried about it, offering the money to them. Further, we can mandate vaccination by law. Employers can mandate vaccination. The government can mandate it. And so certainly if we can require somebody to get it, offering them money to try to get them to voluntarily agree to do it is not problematic.
There's also some fascinating research around regret lotteries, like everyone's name is in the pot. If your name's drawn, they call you. You haven't been vaccinated. Too bad. Are you familiar with regret lotteries and what impact do they have?
Yeah, my behavioral economist colleagues are very interested in this. And, the hope is that you create a fear of missing out or FOMO. It works to get my daughter to do things, and hopefully it works to get adults to do things as well. So there is good reason to think that you would really hate to be called and find out that you just missed a chance to get $1 million or a full ride scholarship to college. And so that creating that regret can be a powerful way to get more people vaccinated.
What about smaller sums of money, or, you know, putting a lottery together with smaller payouts, more people getting a chance? Does that up it at all?
Well, it does depend, I think, a little bit on the psychology. So some people are risk takers, or they really, you know, we think about people who play the lottery generally, they have a certain tolerance of risk, and perhaps it's fun to have, even if it's a low chance, you know, a small probability, but a very high payout possibility. Other people like a sure thing. And so maybe for them, knowing it's $100 in pocket once they get the vaccine is going to be better. And, you know, there's past research that's been done on use of incentives to promote health behaviors, certainly never in contexts like this. But we see that small payouts and lotteries can be effective.
We're talking about vaccine lotteries, other incentives to entice people to get the COVID vaccine, with University of Pennsylvania medical ethicist Emily Largent. Do you think lotteries are a good tool in the fight to increase vaccination? Do you think the money set aside for lotteries should be used elsewhere? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Emily Largent on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about vaccine incentives, like chances to win free groceries, plane tickets for a year, or a $5 million grand prize in the case of New Mexico. Should big cash awards, these state lottery programs, be used as an incentive to get more people vaccinated? What happens in the next urgent crisis? It's 800-642-1234. Emily Largent of the University of Pennsylvania focuses on medical ethics and health policy, and she's with us for about 10 more minutes. So, Emily, if your state or your company is in the process of designing an incentive for its people, what would you tell them? What's your best guidance?
Well, I think that we need to think about a broad toolkit. So we need to be aware of the limitations of incentive programs. And I mentioned some of those, right? They're not going to get to everybody's reasons for not being vaccinated. And so we need to think about how to reach the spectrum of people. So some of that will be providing transportation to clinics. It will be taking vaccines to homebound seniors and people with disabilities. It's making sure that people have time off, paid time off, so that they can go get the vaccine and they can recover from the vaccine if they experience any side effects. We're seeing good evidence that that's a real barrier to vaccine uptake right now. There also needs to be targeted messaging to reach people and see why they've been hesitant so far. And I'd also suggest making sure that vaccines are getting into the hands of local physicians, because oftentimes you might have some suspicions or distrust of the broader population of scientists say at a national level, but you have a lot of trust and faith in your personal physician. So being able to talk to them about whether the vaccine is right for you and roll up your sleeve right there in the office can be really powerful. So just don't get distracted by the fun stuff and make sure that we're also doing a lot of the other hard public health work that needs to happen.
Some of the things you've said there are echoing what the White House really rolled out this week in terms of trying to reach that 70% at least one dose threshold. When you look at what what is happening out of the White House, what do you see there?
Well, I've been really heartened by the Biden administration's approach to all of this. I think that they're right to set an ambitious goal, 70%. Or higher, ideally. I think that they're doing a nice job identifying the range of needs that people have. And I also have been really happy to see that they've made health equity issues and addressing disparities a core part of their approach.
Do you have some examples of this toolbox working here, where giving people a monetary incentive actually changed their health behaviors?
So there have been some studies done to see if, for example, offering incentives can help improve exercise program adherence for people. There's, you know, and this gamification, people talk about it sometimes disparagingly. I don't think we need to be disparaging, but it can. It can help people feel more likely to exercise, more likely to stop smoking. These incentive programs can be powerful to get people to take steps to improve their own health.
We're talking with Emily Largent, who is an assistant professor of medical ethics and health policy at the University of Pennsylvania, as we discuss the ethics of COVID vaccination incentives and want to hear from you, your take. Do you know someone who's still unvaccinated? Do you think a lottery or a cash incentive would convince them to take the vaccine? What are your thoughts on states offering lottery prizes for people who take the vaccine? 800-642-1234. Emily, as we see so many different incentives out there, what happens in the next crisis is what I'm wondering. You know, what happens if we actually need people in the next pandemic to do something?
Sure. So we're already talking, for instance, about the need for potential booster shots to make sure that people are protected against COVID. And so I do worry that by offering a spoonful of sugar right now, we will get people used to the idea that doing a positive thing for themselves and for public health will come with an incentive. So that could make future vaccine rollout or booster shot rollout less efficient, right? It might be slower if people are dragging their feet to see what's going to be offered, and more expensive, just as we, you know, have to start thinking about budgeting for incentives. But obviously there are trade-offs. There's a huge push right now, given that we still have a lot of people in the population who haven't received a first shot. And so, you know, policymakers have to weigh whether or not the risk is worth the benefit. And clearly a lot of people have decided it's better to focus on the here and now and see what happens going forward.
When I see these corporations getting into it and their names out there with, you know, free airline tickets and cruise ship offerings and, you know, I mean, just the gamut, you know, percentage off merchandise, is, you know, what is the marketing impact of on all this?
Yeah, I'm a bit of two minds about this. I think on the one hand, I really want to applaud these companies for exercising corporate social responsibility and promoting, you know, what I'll just repeat again, is such a great thing for you and for your community if you're vaccinated. That said, it's also very canny marketing, because especially when you think about the Krispy Kremes who came out first, and some of these things that are being offered now, they get us talking about companies and products that maybe we haven't thought about in a while. And once they get picked up by the media, and I'm here talking with you about donuts, yeah, not something I maybe think about a lot in my day-to-day life, or more than I care to admit, maybe. But, you know, that's that multiplier effect is great. So whatever $1 it costs to buy a Krispy Kreme donut, if we talk about it and people start thinking about it, that will multiply in terms of the outreach and the people who are now thinking about donuts and products. So I think good corporate responsibility, but also great marketing move.
Well, let's bring in Rick now in Antigo. Hi, Rick. What do you make of all this?
Well, I think the incentives are a fine thing, but in Antigo, they're having trouble even scheduling shots. It's like they don't want to open a vial if they don't have 40 people.
So you find access is still an issue, even though there are all these incentives?
Yeah, there's definitely an issue, or an access issue right now.
Yeah, yeah.
At least last weekend when we were talking about it, I'm not quite sure today.
Yeah. So, Rick, thank you for that. Emily, you know, what are the dynamics there that, you know, in not all areas, is it actually very, very easy to get vaccinated?
Yeah, this has been one of my concerns about the incentive programs, is that while I think that they're fine as part of an overall approach, we know that there are still communities, whether those are rural communities or whether they're, you know, communities that have experienced other kinds of structural disadvantage, often, unfortunately, along lines of race and class, you know, they are still having trouble getting vaccines there. And so we don't want to move straight to trying to incentivize people when there are still these structural barriers to being vaccinated. So you have to think about getting vaccines to where people are. Strategies that have been effective there include mobile vaccine clinics. So you can go maybe to a church parking lot and they have a van there. There's been door-to-door vaccinations of people who are homebound in New York State that have been effective. So we really do have to continue thinking about just how to get them to people who want them and have found their path blocked.
Lisa in Brookfield is next. Lisa, hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I heard you say that it's a good thing that we are all getting vaccinated. And I was just wondering, we are the ones that are being vaccinated. But so we're kind of the study. So how would you know it was good? How would we know it's good if we're the ones that are being studied?
Well, they did conduct very large trials before the vaccines were, you know, made broadly available, and there was good evidence there. The FDA promised at the outset that they would do a very rigorous evaluation before they issued the emergency use authorization. And now that we've had millions of people who have been vaccinated, we are able to see both that case rates are going down amongst people who are vaccinated, speaking to how effective they are. And overall, I know there have been some safety issues around Johnson & Johnson with concerns on clots, and you know, people are continuing to monitor this very closely, but it does appear that the number of adverse events and effects have been relatively small. So on balance, everything we see as it's coming in, and we are learning in real time. I agree with that point, Lisa, but it's incredibly reassuring to me, and I think these are really good vaccines.
Lisa, thanks. Emily, you know, what are you watching for as a researcher as all of these lottery programs and incentives, you know, kind of drive forward this pandemic and where we are at this point?
So I think we're at a moment where I feel like we're at a bit of a buffet, right? And we're a smorgasbord approach to vaccination. We have everything on offer from dating apps and, you know, French fries and beers through guaranteed cash in smaller amounts. And then the chances at these very large cash prizes, $1 million, $5 million. And I'm really looking forward to seeing which of these ends up being most effective in increasing vaccine uptake, and also who is taking these vaccines up. I think that we'll learn a lot based on how we're able to motivate people to get vaccinated.
Emily, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Emily Largent is an assistant professor of medical ethics and health policy at the University of Pennsylvania. Just ahead, we take a look at universal basic or guaranteed income programs and what's getting traction in cities that have pilot programs. What do you think of UBI, universal basic income? Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.